Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Heard around the world on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis, with Blue and Joe Grande.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grande. Thank you guys for listening to our podcast, Cannabis Talk 101, all around the world. Make sure you check out the website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Blue's not here right now. I'm holding it down, of course. I got my brother from another mother, Brian Buckley, HVGC. Brian, it's always good to see you.
It's amazing to be around you, my good man.
You know, and I noticed you've been doing your push-ups, and just can't lie, you're making me do more. I've been doing push-ups around the house, going, if Brian has those types of shoulders.
There you go.
And pecs, so can I. Pitt, I don't know if he's inspiring you, but he's inspiring me. And I'm not, when I say I was doing some the other day, because I was doing them and I literally thought about him. I literally thought about Brian Buckley when I was doing push-ups. I go, okay, he's doing push-ups around the house. We got so many great articles on our website. Make sure you check it out, like I said, and call us up 1-800-420-1980. Oh, he will edit himself to make himself sound great. 1-800-420-1980. Go check out our IG pages at Cannabis Talk 101. And of course, my brother Blue is at the number one. Christopher writes, I am at Joe Grande 52. And y'all know what time it is, right?
Dime time.
That's right. Think higher with Dime Industries. Find them in California, Arizona, and Oklahoma. Check out the website, dimeindustries.com, or on Instagram, dime.industries. What do we got for today?
Well, we got another jarhead on the...
Yeah,
and he's a local jarhead. We actually grew up like really close to each other back in the Philadelphia area. So, great guy, though. We got Mr. Pearson R. Kennedy Crosby on the show right now.
Pearson. Welcome, Pearson.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, you got it, man. Thank you for taking the time, and let me brag about you here for a little bit. So, as mentioned, he is a fellow jarhead, served in the United States Marine Corps from 2004 through 2008. He was what we would call the center of the universe, being the infantry, because everyone supports the infantry in the Marine Corps. He did two deployments to Operation Iraqi Freedom. He's a father of two, and he's living in Fairbanks, Alaska right
now. Wow. Congratulations for making it to Alaska.
Yeah.
Is that called getting away in a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I followed a girl. She doesn't talk to me anymore, but I started a family here, and I really enjoy the cold and the wonderful people here.
Now, it's amazing. You know, we do a lot of conversations with Pearson on the Veterans Action Council, and he's always just out walking around with his cell phone talking to us, and you just see how cool Alaska really is and how beautiful and just all the great things he has to do out there. But, you know, Pearson, I want to kind of talk more about, you know, some of your background and, you know, let's get into when you left the Marine Corps and kind of how that went for you. And then what, like, lessons learned and how we kind of are moving forward and doing some great things for veterans.
Absolutely. So I got out, I was pretty messed up from my deployments. Like Brian said, I did two combat deployments to Alambar Province. My first tour was with a MUSOC, a Marine Expeditionary Unit Special Operations Capable. Went over on a boat And we did combat operations right on the Euphrates in a town called Hit. We did several movement to contact and cache discovery missions or operations that were just, you know, walking for days, waiting for waiting to find something or waiting for somebody to shoot at us. And that was pretty much the gist of the first deployment. Second deployment was in Baghdadi, not to be confused with Baghdad, but it was a small village a little north of where I went my first tour. And we did coin operations, counterinsurgency operations in that village with a platoon-sized element, mainly all foot patrols. You know, really got to understand people, the ins and outs of people outside of the U.S., which, yeah, you know, they're a lot like us. So,
you know, Pearson,
but it was, you know, it was tough.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, just so we can kind of catch people up here. So where he was in Western Iraq is the Al-Anbar province. And you had like the triangle of death in there with Fallujah and Ramadi. It was a gnarly area. I did a couple of deployments myself out there. And when he's saying things like what he was doing, like movement to contact, they're literally going out looking for a fight. Like just someone come at us and we're
going to... Oh, movement for contact.
Exactly.
Hence those real words.
Yeah.
Movement for contact.
So it was a really, it was the Badlands out there, and, you know, a lot of guys.
And whatever moves gets shot at.
Exactly. And it was tough. And I know, like, he's just bringing up things I haven't thought about in a long time, but, like, we're Hit and Baghdadi and all those things. It was some rough terrain. So this guy's been through a lot.
Oh, man, thank you again for your service. But yeah, continue, please.
Well, I appreciate it. So, yeah, we, the second deployment was pretty eye-opening. So I was a squad leader in a platoon size element, which I was first squad leader. So I was, you know, third in command next to my lieutenant, my platoon commander, a platoon sergeant. You know, we got really, really close with a lot of the villagers. I can honestly say they had given us intel to save the lives of myself and my fellow Marines, my platoon. So it was, you know, it was a great experience, but it, you know, it's one of those things that you're, you never actually know what you're doing until a decade later, and unfortunately, ISIS decided to come into that village and really, really destroy the local community and anyone that worked with us, so it was, yeah.
No,
so I guess it's one of the reasons why I'm really against disarming local populaces, because they're not able to defend themselves anymore.
No, and that's a good point there you're bringing up in terms of how he was doing things in counterinsurgency. And that really is, you want to win hearts and minds and being out there and working with the villagers. And basically you're becoming friends and they get what we're doing. We had a thing that's called the Al-Anbar Awakening. So this was like in 2006. I thought everything was just going to hell in Iraq. I'm like, I don't even know what we're doing, if this is going to work. President Bush introduced a thing called the Surge. So they sent more Marines in Al-Anbar. And I went back to Al-Anbar about 6 months later with recon, and everything totally changed. And what happened was the Sheikhs basically said, hey, we're not really thrilled with these Marines, but they're a heck of a lot better than these Al-Qaeda guys. And they started kicking all these people out of their villages or their cities, and that's where they do their murder and intimidation campaigns. And essentially what we did is us and a SEAL team, we just, it was like driving the cattle up north. The Kurds were like, bring them to us and we'll figure this one out. So things were really on a good track. And then all of a sudden we prematurely pulled out. And then you had ISIS come in and fill up this vacuum. And if you were working with the Marines or Americans, you probably weren't going to be living much longer. I mean, they don't go in there to, let me get this guy. They go in there and they'll wipe apart a whole village. And it's just absolutely sickening what these people do.
Well, Pearson, yeah, happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, thanks.
I don't know what to say after that type of shit right there, right? It's like, that's the type of stuff they do. Yeah. Happy Father's Day. I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
It's never good to prematurely pull out. I like your verbiage there, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. No, obviously, some lessons learned there. But, you know, let's talk about, okay, you did some great things in the military.
Yeah, I got
and then you're transitioning out. Yeah. And, you know, what happened there? From that standpoint.
So I, you know, I, at the end of my enlistment, I decided to try to get over to MARSOC. I did the ANS and finished that. Got accepted into it, but I decided to get out. Once I was out, I felt like I lost my purpose, along with a lot of my body deteriorating and not physical and, you know, my mental capacity when it comes to reflecting back to what I had to do if I, you know, did any good, which I hope I did. Got all my guys back, but it was still heavy on a 22-year-old at that point. I got in treatment with the VA, and they gave me every drug I could ever want and need, and it destroyed me. It turns out I didn't really need any of it. In my opinion, they were just giving me all these opiates, all these benzodiazepine, all these sleeping pills, yeah, and SSRIs that just turned me into a zombie and an addict. I don't know how many people can say at 23 years old they were on two fentanyl patches at the same time, along with Oxycontin, wow, and MS Cotton for breakthrough pain, Klonopins three times a day at a 1 milligram dosage. And it, you know, I fell into addiction, and I think mainly, it was it wasn't just the doctors. The doctors didn't have any other options to give me, and I wanted the pain to go away. And at that point in my life, I don't think I saw a better future than, a purposeful future that the Marine Corps gave me, in that regard, in the purpose regard. And I just, let these, professionals give me what they could and their best, avenues of approach to my physical and mental issues. And it was something that, looking back, I wish, I spoke up a little bit more, but, Brian, you know, in the Marine Corps, you listen to the people that are above you, and you don't really ask questions unless you are the leader on the ground, and no one can say anything to the leader on the ground. But when it comes back to garrison, medical treatment, stuff like that, you're instilled with this trust and this responsibility towards your superiors, and I think myself and other service members look at doctors or nurses, anybody with a uniform or a badge or a degree, as people that have taken an oath to do no harm, and they are working in your best interest, not necessarily with where it is in the VA. They're working under the interests of the law and the federal government, right, that shouldn't be involved with medical treatment. I firmly believe that that's one of the biggest issues when it comes to VA treatment, is that they're working under these guidelines that don't necessarily benefit the veteran, but more or less helps them not get fired, or goes under the guidelines of a code of federal regulations.
And you're so right, Pearson, because everything you're saying is part of the protocol that all branches of military have been taught, right?
Sure.
The chain of command. It's so funny to hear you use that way of thinking, Pearson, as far as even chain of command. From every single vet that comes out of the military, you're told to do this and take this. Now you're out, Brian Buckley, you need to take these pills, this, that. Pearson Crosby, you're out, now you need to take this. That's such a mental struggle for you guys to come out of the military being told by the quote-unquote man what you need to be taking, and now you get out, you should be taking these pills rather than cannabis. It's such a tough one. Let's take a break real quick, come right back, and talk on this point right there on how you can change that mindset, how Pearson's changed that mindset, how Brian Buckley's changed that mindset, how we can get other people to change that mindset, because it's not only vets that think this way, folks. It's society that thinks this way. How some people will think, oh, I can't use cannabis. I need to take this pill that my doctor told me to get because of protocol reasons. We all feel that way at certain points, and it happens across the board. It's sad to think that most veterans, but let's just go any person who's been taught in life that the propaganda of it, and they shut their eyes to it.
Yeah.
There's more than just vets.
Oh, yes. Like I said, it's just not a veteran issue.
Yeah, you exactly. Know, it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll come right back and talk more about this. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Turn your typical into something special, you guys. When it comes to infused products, the flavor you taste should be just as enjoyable as the feeling you experience. Visit the website, loranoils.com. That's LORANNOILS.com. Brian Buckley from HVGC, of course, here with us as we talk to the veterans. Pearson Crosby is our guy that's on the show with us. Pearson, your stories, everything you said, like I said, you touched something in me.
Yeah.
Right now, that is so heartbreaking, yet so real, like a $2 bill, that it's not just veterans.
Yep.
But it's so sad to think that the veterans who have been programmed, as you point out, on that Pearson 22-year-old kid that you were at, leading men and fighting and doing whatever it took to lead. When I say whatever it took, by any means necessary, even killing.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys have done for us in this country. And then to come home, you think, I got to follow my directions.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, you kind of look at what Pearson went through. He talked about being a squad leader. So right there, he's in charge of 12 Marines. And then when he said he went through MARSOC ANS, that's what I did. That's special ops. He made it through selection. He could have went and became a Marine Raider, but he opted to lead the Marine Corps. Then they start throwing him what we call the VA cocktail, where they're giving you uppers and downers and lefts and rights and all those other things. I mean, Pearson was probably taking upwards of like 15 pills a day. And you do, wow. You lose that, you lose your identity, you're desperate for help.
Oh, hold on, Pearson, is that 50, that's why you're active duty?
No, that's when I got out, that was strictly from the VA.
VA, you're going 15 pills.
If you complain about having any issues, you're going to get, I wouldn't have gotten into MARSOC selection. I was in MARSOC for a couple months prior to... So I got recruited there and stayed there. But if I were to mention anything about my, you know, nightmares or night tremors or negative thoughts or knee issues or back issues, they would have dropped me. And that's just not something. It's very going to the aid battalion or medical is highly frowned upon in the fleet. And I'm sure Brian can speak on that one too.
I mean, of course, and we've heard from him and hearing that, but
yeah.
How, at what point, Pearson, because hearing your struggle there, I can only imagine what that struggle must have been like for you to say, I'm going to use cannabis. I want to hear what that mental, like, how did you click yourself to say, fuck it, I need to use this, not that.
Oh, I was going to die. So I tried getting help. I tried to get into inpatient, voluntary inpatient for substance abuse through the VA. I had went down there twice, which was not an easy trip for me, especially let me back up. So I tried getting treatment, and they sent me to the methadone clinic on the Philly VA medical center's property. There, I got introduced to heroin. Became a while you're waiting in line, you're battling Philly traffic from Bucks County six Crazy. Days a week to go take a sip of cherry liquid. While the VA police department or the federal police are looking the other way at the heroin and crack dealers. Waiting in line with you for your methadone treatment. And, you know, one day I didn't want to wait an hour to get treatment and went out and, you know, started, I tried, intravenous heroin. And, it was something that I don't know if I'd be off opiates right now, prescription opiates, if it didn't get that extreme. And that's, that was like the low point in my life, was trying to get into, I knew I shouldn't be doing, I'm still thinking clearly. I'm going to Drexel University of Civil Engineering, which is a very prestigious, one of the most prestigious non-Ivy League schools in the country for engineering, doing all right with that. I just left Bucks County Community College with my, before I got my associate's in biology to transfer over to Drexel. But the substance abuse took over. The heroin was next level shit. And it caught me for a couple months, and I tried getting into inpatient while still doing outpatient methadone treatment. And after the third time of them saying that they have a bed for me, and me getting in there and realizing that it wasn't just the substance abuse treatment, it was also the mental section of the hospital, the seventh floor of the VA Medical Center. I stayed there for a couple hours and I was like, no effing way am I going to be able to deal with this craziness, you know? And I had all the pillars of, you know, success, in my opinion, to be able to get off of with on my own. And there's like four things that I see when it comes to successfully getting off of substance abuse or addiction. And it's having a good support structure, your friends and family, strangers that actually care about you, which you're like, man, these people have no idea who I am, and they're here to and truly care about my well-being. And that's something that I would never want to do, is let people down in that capacity. And knowing that you could do better in the future if you're able to conquer this demon. And you gotta be willing to fall off that horse and get back on that horse in order to better yourself. And I ended up catching a DUI on a main road in Philly, blacked out with my foot on the brake during traffic in Philly with a needle in my arm. And so then I got charged with that, woke up in the roundhouse, and got introduced to Veterans Court. And that was the fifth pillar of my what I think helped me, and that was the possibility of incarceration.
There's always that that can straighten you up.
Firmly, and I went through Veterans Court, and that's where I found the people, the strangers that cared, really cared. I still talk to them today. I still talk to my probation officer, Brian. I took my probation officer to the Marine Corps birthday at the Philadelphia Union League. He was my plus one.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens. I mean, and like you know, as you say, Pearson, you're sitting there in pain, waiting to try to do the right thing, trying to get some, you know, relief. And then what am I supposed to? I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard for people out there. And I'm just glad you found cannabis. I'm glad and grateful for your service. And, you know, hopefully you just keep fighting the good fight out there, because it's not easy by no means. And now you're in Alaska with your kids and doing your thing, and God willing, cannabis can keep you sane and keep you somewhat right. What is your regimen using cannabis now? Do you have one that you find that keeps you on a good balance, or is it just when needed?
Well, so the way that I got off of all the drugs was I got fed up with the system, and I just locked myself in my apartment back in Philly. And just smoked a lot of cannabis. I mean, I was smoking probably an ounce and a half every in a week, going through opiate withdrawal. And it took me a little bit longer to get off the benzodiazepines, because those will kill you if you're highly addicted to them, and you cold turkey them. But it was just cannabis gave me the ability to have that edge to get through it. And now I smoke with the lady. I started a transportation company up here a few years ago. I have over 130,000 road miles that I've transported, 50 million plus dollars worth of product and cash. And I've just, been trying to, get the word out that cannabis is something that is far less dangerous than opiates and the drugs that can potentially allow you to overdose or become addicted to, or dangerous and deadly substances. And now I consume almost daily, and typically it's before I go to bed with my better half, Megan. I don't know how she puts up with me, but she does. It's a running joke, but up here it's recreational. We don't have a medical program. If you're 21 and older, you can go into the store and grab cannabis. If you're under 21, you can get a referral from a doctor, but there is no real distinction between medical cannabis and
recreational.
There's no just yeah recreational, but there is no real difference between alcohol and cannabis here. There are several different laws that kind of separate them, but we did a voters initiative and won with 70% wanting cannabis to be recreational, and our motto was regulate it like alcohol. And I think it's one of for consumers, on a consumer standpoint, it is probably the best program I've seen to date.
This is literally one of those stories, Pearson, and as you say that too, Brian, that is exactly what that is. It should be praised, heard more of, because you are what they call a miracle child, as I am as well, Pearson. Yeah. As I say this to you, I'm not saying I'm a miracle child as well. I should be dead 100 times over my damn self. So I relate to your story, brother, as I've been in NAAA and every other AA anonymous you can imagine. Yeah. So everything I've heard from your for your mouth, I've heard this story a few times, good or bad or sad. And my point is, it's not unique to me by no means, but It's just the fact that you have overcome it and are overcoming it on a daily basis. And now you're regimented as at nighttime when needed with the spouse. And that's a beautiful thing. And I congratulate you and send you all the love to you and your spouse, Pearson. And thank you so much for coming on and being friends with a guy like Brian Buckley, who probably bothers you like he does me. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
I love the man.
We all bother each other.
No, he doesn't bother me whatsoever.
No, he doesn't bother me at all. I am honored to be able to speak with him on a weekly basis, and
we're proud of you, man. Just, I mean, you are an inspiration. Everything you've been through, and you continue to lead from the front now. And you know, I just think with all of your efforts, it's only going to be a matter of time until some common sense starts going into the VA system.
Yeah, and give a plug for your company out there in Alaska. What's the company that you started out there?
Oh, yeah, that's Crosby Transportation. I left that a little while ago, but I just recently purchased about 300 acres right outside of Fairbanks, and I'm going to be doing as much good as I can with it, giving about 50 acres of the land to local veterans organizations, and probably going to be doing some tourism stuff, early stages. I've spoken to Brian about it before, but it's in the early stages, and...
you're giving back. Pearson, you're doing the Lord's work right there.
Exactly.
Who goes out and buys 300 acres and says, well, I'm giving 50 back to the
veterans
that, you know, just brothers of mine that have, you know, risked their lives.
Exactly.
And I'm going to risk mine and financial life to just put this together
to
for them.
Happen.
That's the guy like Pearson's doing.
Yep.
I mean, just notice and recognize, folks, when you say what this guy's doing. Listen to what the man just said he's doing out there.
It's
very inspiring. You know what, Pearson, hold on real quick. Let's just take a break. We're going to come right back. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grande. HVGC, my man Brian Buckley's in the building talking to vets. We'll be right back. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Advanced Nutrients has a complete growing system, you guys, for cannabis that optimizes all phases and cycles to bring your crops to their true genetic potential. Discover more at advancednutrients.com. It's been great, Brian, having Pearson on this whole show like this. I mean, it's just what we love.
Oh, it's an incredible story.
I mean, your story, it touches my heart. Pearson, Crosby, everything you've done, being a Marine, Jarhead, all this stuff with Brian. And once again, I've heard Brian's stories, and for Brian to give you the props like that is like just all the praise in the world, because the guy that I look at in my phone is Mr. Badass, and you're saying he's the frontline guy and around everything that goes around him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the shit that you must have seen with your eyes. And everything you've gone through. So thank you for everything there. And one thing that we like to do with a lot of our guests is we like to do the high five with them. And since you're now out in Alaska having fun and creating great things, I think people should know these things about you. So we're going to do the high five, of course, with our guy, Pearson Crosby, our vet. How old were you the first time, Pearson, you smoked cannabis, and where'd you get it from? How old were you?
I was 12. I got it from a local guy who sold some terrible swag weed.
12 years old and good old the D. That's always fun. At least you got it, you know?
I got to start somewhere.
You sure do.
I didn't know it was terrible at the time, but...
But it happens. What's your favorite way to use cannabis?
A flower. Flowers, I prefer using flower, but out of convenience, I concentrate vaporizers, pens are typically utilized.
I'm looking to get one of these HVGC pins that I've heard about. If you know anybody around that can get me some.
I heard about these chillums.
Well, yeah. Pearson, I don't know. I don't know if you have a plug on them, but if you can, maybe you can, from Alaska, you can hook me up over here in Orange County.
Yeah, make a phone call. Yeah.
Maybe you can. Craziest place, Pearson, you've ever used cannabis or smoked. I love busting balls like that.
An airplane or police station, maybe.
Ooh, police station.
Nice.
What were you doing at the police station that you got? Were you arrested or were you just visiting? Or that's a crazy one.
I thought I was going to be getting arrested, so I went. I used the bathroom before killing.
If you're gonna fucking take me in, I'm gonna go in high.
If you're getting me, you're getting me this way. All right, that's how we roll.
I mean, if I'm gonna go in, I might as well take a hit.
Yep.
I mean, I'm going in. I feel that 100%. What are your go-to munchies, Pearson, after you do get high?
I don't know if I told anybody that before. But
a good one. Well,
that's what Cannabis Talk 101 does.
Yeah. We pull it out of you.
So, yeah, brings it all out. Get me all flustered. What was the last question?
What have been your go-to munchies after you got high? Like, what were those go-to?
Wawa.
Yeah.
Wawa.
Do you know about Wawa?
Anything Wawa.
What's greatest Wawa? Place in the world. So Wawa, I think it's like from Pennsylvania, I think it stops at Virginia. It is your one-stop shop for everything. You can go in there, get hoagies. Dude. We call them hoagies. We don't call them subs. You can get cheesesteaks, get all the great food. It is
amazing.
Every time you'd leave the bar, everyone would hit to Wawa and just grab a bunch of food.
Dude, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
Look at Pitt. You want to go right now. So do I.
The past 2 weeks, he's from Long Beach. I had him over doing a project, attempting a cannabis project in Boston, outside of Boston. He never knew what Wawa was, and I had him hear listen to this Bloodhound Gang song, and the chorus is, "Do you even know what a Wawa is?" And that dude would wake up every morning, walk to Wawa from my mom's house in Yardley the past 2 weeks. And once he went there, he attempted over the 10 days that were there to get every possible thing that was on the menu. He was going like three times a day.
Yeah.
It's
that good, huh?
It's the closest thing to heaven in the world in existence, I think.
Yeah, if you guys are on the East Coast, I think my go-to was like fried chicken on provolone and spicy mustard with lettuce and tomato. It was killer.
As much as that just turned my stomach, I want to eat it. It just gave me I want to bite. You know what I mean? I'm trying to eat so healthy all the time now.
When you go to Wawa, man. Just live.
And not only that, when I was in Detroit, I remember going to this fried chicken spot when I was out there for the All-Star game many moons ago, early on, and like when Kobe played in it and Shaq right? So I was out there for that.
Nice.
And I remember going to a fried chicken spot in Detroit that was open late night. It was dangerous.
I mean, that's
it was hood. It was like Bob. I was like, you know, gun, whatever, resistant, everything. What you want? That was great.
I bet it was amazing, right?
Oh, I went back every night.
There you go.
Every night, me and Big Boy went back when you talk about fried chicken like that. All right, here you go. If you could smoke cannabis with anyone, dead or alive, question number 5, Mr. Pearson Crosby, who would it be and why?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. Socrates.
Por qué?
For Brian Buckley.
Por qué Socrates?
Socrates, huh?
I want to know if he actually said all the things that so he never wrote anything. So that's a big thing with Socrates. He never wrote anything down. It was all Plato that was the one that
scribed everything?
Shared his yeah, shared his belief structure and stuff. Same thing with Aristotle. I don't think Aristotle was even authored, but Socrates is one of those guys that, you know, he died for his principles, even though he knew he could say one thing to or Thoreau, guy who wrote on the duties of civil disobedience.
I don't know, man, but you're kicking some serious education ass right now.
That is just so random, too, to pick something like that, because it is such a good one, because like you said, this is everything that you've just talked about and didn't write down. There's a lot of great people like that out there in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing stories about the King James Bible, as far as once he had everybody write it down, he expressed everything to them, they chopped the tongues off everybody.
No, really?
Yeah, the King James Bible. So yeah, you hear
well,
shit
the King
like
James
that.
Bible has been—it's been revised by scribes for.
But like,
for
as I hear something like that, it makes me think of stories like that, like what you just said of talking to somebody like that. Because in history, I remember, you know, I did a show called The Doghouse in the Bay Area, and then when I got sober, I did a show called The God House.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
Once I got sober, and I did it with Pastor Dick Burnell, who runs Jubilee Christian Center in San Jose, and MC Hammer, who you know can't touch us.
Absolutely.
So me, MC Hammer, Pastor Dick, we would do this show, and I constantly ask questions and talk about the Bible and God and this and that. And then we get about King James, and they were like, well, you know what happened once he did all these stories, and look what happened. We start researching, like, what do you mean?
Wow.
Oh, the King James Bible and this and that. After they got all these books and everything, they chopped the tongues off these cats and said, you can no longer tell these stories.
That. I never heard that.
And I'm just going off of what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. And it reminds me of what you're saying, Pearson. Like when you describe these things about him, that's the type of shit we come from in this country and world. Like that type of stuff happens back then.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. It happened when the Bible was written, from what I've heard. That's the story I heard.
I think we fall into this assumption that every great man or woman is infallible. And with greatness, you're lacking a lot. You're focusing on one thing that made that person great, but also it's a human being that we're talking about. And if you're concentrated on one aspect of life, or your professionalism, or what you're doing to change the world, you're really, a lot of times you're really not good at other aspects. Like, you know, like the founding fathers, there are so many terrible things, and it's with every person. No one is completely great or virtuous, or you know, beside, you know, even with the stories of Jesus Christ growing up, he was sicking bees on people that talked back to his mother. You know,
can you imagine what we would do if we were him? If we only sick bees on somebody, woo, that ain't nothing.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is getting deep. I mean, I remember back in time when I was at Villanova, and I literally got kicked out of my theology class because I questioned the priest. I'm like, wait. I'm like, Jesus spoke at the temple at 11, then he went on sabbatical for 12 years and didn't come back around until he was 23. I'm like, there's something going on, and he's like, get out. So I went down to the bar, so it wasn't that bad. I'm like, all right, I'll go have a beer. But you know, but when I came back,
and smoked a joint.
Yeah, when I came back though, good on him. He stood me up. He goes, Brian challenged me, and I took the easy way out, and I kicked him out. Where we should have had a debate. That's why you guys are here. So he goes, I apologize. And it was all good. You know, it was like, that's fine. But
wow, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how college should be. I would.
That's how everything should be. Life should be, actually.
Yep. Yeah.
Seconded.
You know what I mean? You can say I love Trump. I can say I hate Trump. We want to talk about it? Sure.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Let's talk
I'm
going to
cancel
let's
you.
And I'm okay with life like that. I don't understand people who can't, like, this is my reason. Is that yours? Okay, cool. Yeah. Agree to disagree?
There you go.
I would like my view on life to be altered by a good defense on why it or a good opposition on why it should be. And I feel like there's this cancel culture bullshit. Like, it is just people opting out of taking the time to actually realize what they believe in. And I saw that so much recently. There's nothing worse than somebody that believes in something that's just believing it because of emotional bullshit, because somebody that they like told them that, or it's been drilled into their head and they don't have the willingness to go find out for themselves, or have no idea what they're even defending, and they have no business defending it if they if they believe that, if they believe something that they're not willing to look into and take the time to figure it out, find out, make sure that they are in the most in the know as possible. Yeah. Sorry, that's the rant.
No, it's a good, it's a real good point, because I actually heard President Obama gave a speech, and it was like right when, remember, like colleges were having safe spaces and you could like run away and go hide in the room if someone was debating with you. He's like, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. He goes, people disagree with me every 0.5 seconds of the day. But you know how I have to convince them to say what I think we're doing is right? I debate them. He's like, that's what we should do. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're losing something here in the country. And you saw, you know, kind of spiral out of control.
And it's what we're doing now. We're sharing Pearson Crosby's yes. anecdotal story of what he's gone through, the peaks and the valleys and the trenches of life. You've heard me share them. You've heard Brian share them. Yeah. And now Pearson shared them. And that's what we're about, changing people's perspective, opening your minds. Share this with folks that are listening in life, yep. going, cannabis is not just about the stoner that smokes weed on the corner. And it's, you know, fun. Those guys are fun too, though. Don't get it twisted. It's about saving lives like it saved Pearson's.
That's it.
And then that's the message that we want to get out there, folks. And that's what Cannabis Talk 101 is about. That's what Blue's about. Joe Grande's about. I mean, this is what we want to push. And Brian Buckley is here to push this anecdotal evidence to everyone out there that it works for veterans. Yeah. It's worked for a veteran like him. It's worked for a guy like me. And it's worked for another veteran like Pearson. I'm an injured man that has literally his foot up with surgery that's on my foot that I take cannabis for. And if you think I had a good friend that would have brought me in today, you might have thought I did, but I don't, folks. So I'm just kidding.
Wait,
how you just throw punches when you thought, Pitt, don't you love when I do this? My team knows how I do this. And Pearson, you got already, that's why you're laughing. You already know what I'm doing. I'm just doing a big monologue and saying, thanks for letting me be in pain, Brian, and not bringing me any medicine.
I would hope my people would actually say something. Who brought you guys vape pens today, huh? Someone
hooked up. Everybody got some today, and then not me. Oh, the team got him.
Blame it on your people. Right?
Hey, look, Brian goes, sorry, Joe, I gave everybody else some, but you either
way,
Brian.
Attitude you're portraying to me.
I don't know this way better. No, I would love, I don't want any, matter of fact, so I can keep busting your balls. It's no fun if you give it to me right away. I never get to bring it up. Then I never get to act like a baby. Right? Then there's no funny part about it.
No, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing is you're going to say, Joe, you could go get it right here at the suspense, you fat bastard. So much, Pearson. Exactly. Pearson, thank you so much for coming on. Exactly, brother. And you know what?
Hey, thank you so much.
Everything you're doing out there, and I loved hearing what you're going to be doing with the veterans, with that 50 acres, dog. Anything we can do to help promote it, anything, you stay connected to us, man. We appreciate you fighting the good fight, and God bless you and your family out there.
Thank you, Pearson.
Very much appreciated. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, gentlemen, and have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Monday, best day of the week, right?
Exactly it is. And remember this, you guys, it's Cannabis Talk 101, and if nobody else loves you,
we do!
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.